In most places across the country, people have to wait until they're 18 to vote. But in four local jurisdictions, including Maryland's Tacoma Park, Hyattsville, and Greenbelt, 16 and 17-year-olds can vote in local elections. Now, D.C. is introducing legislation that could lower the voting age to 16 for its residents. If passed, it would allow them to vote in both local and in federal elections. I'm interested in what you think about that. Give us a call. How do you feel about the proposal? As I mentioned, Tacoma Park, Hyattsville, Greenbelt, they all allow 16-year-olds to vote. Do you think they should have the right to vote, 16 and 17-year-olds, that is? And if you are 16 or 17, would you take advantage of a lower voting age? Joining me in studio is Charles Allen. He is a D.C. council member representing Ward 6. He introduced this legislation. Charles Allen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's Emancipation Day today in the district. I noticed you're not wearing a tie, so you're probably off work. It's a reminder that D.C. freed its slaves before anywhere else in the Union. Is there anything you'd like to say about this day?
Well, it is an incredibly important day. A lot of us celebrate it on Saturday with the parade and all the events down Pennsylvania Avenue. I will say that this morning, while I don't have a tie on, I think I was still working. We were down actually at Congress with the Neighbors United for Statehood, the D.C. Vote Coalition, lobbying members of Congress. 49 members of Congress are meeting with representatives from D.C. All day today, asking them to co-sponsor and support statehood. So really trying to help continue that push and using Emancipation Day is a great way to help talk about our freedoms and what we should all have for here in the district.
It's not only a holiday here, it also means that we are all able to file our taxes a day later. Is that correct?
I have yet to hit send on my taxes, so I appreciate the little extra time.
You got one more day, pal. Back to lowering the voting age in the district to 16. You attempted to pass similar legislation back in 2015. That did not come to a vote. What was your original motivation for proposing the bill, and why was it not then successful?
Yeah, you know, 2 years ago I introduced this, and it didn't move forward. But the reason why I introduced it was that I think that 16 and 17-year-olds have important voices and have powerful voices for us to hear. And both as elected officials, just as general public, we need to give those voices more power. And we know that that power comes at the ballot box. So I think that it's a great idea, and I think we've had some local jurisdictions do this where we've seen 16 and 17-year-olds can participate, they can make informed decisions, and they can help help really bring their voice to a debate. And I make decisions every day that impacts 16 and 17-year-olds. We have laws that impact 16 and 17-year-olds. They can work, they pay taxes, and yet they don't have a voice in their own government. Every car that drives around in D.C. right now has a little license plate on it that says no taxation without representation. Yet I can tax 16 and 17-year-olds, and they have no representation. And I think that's wrong. And so if I am going to go argue like I did earlier this morning for D.C. statehood and full representation, I don't see how I can also stand here and say that a 16 and 17-year-old shouldn't have that same representation. So 2 years ago, I basically got laughed down when I introduced it. 2 years later, I think the tide has turned dramatically.
What's happened since then?
I think more and more people have seen the power of these voices. You know, the biggest argument I got 2 years ago was people said, have you seen a 16 and 17-year-old? Have you heard them? Can they really make an informed decision? Well, the voices that we are hearing speak, the voices that we are hearing lead here in the district and around the country have just eviscerated that argument. And so more and more people now, even folks that maybe didn't come around 2 years ago, they now look at it and really see the potential, and they really started to say, not why, but why not?
Has your mind changed over whether or not young people at the ages of 16 and 17 should be allowed to vote as a result of the student activism you have been seeing over the past few weeks? Give us a call. If passed, this bill would allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote not only in local but in federal elections. Do you think Congress would allow that to pass?
Well, we may just find out. You know, I don't believe that voting's a half measure. If I trust you to cast a vote, I trust you to cast a vote. But it's also a quirk of the district. Federal elections, there's actually no such thing as a federal election. They're all state elections. So whereas Hyattsville, Tacoma Park, Greenbelt, and other jurisdictions can change their elections for their local jurisdiction, the district is a city and a state all wrapped up in one. And so presidential election, for example, is a statewide election. So our district ballot will have all of that information. And I think it'd be great that for the 2020 election, 16 and 17-year-olds are able to vote for president just like they can vote for their ANC commissioner or their council member.
Well, you say it'll be interesting to see. We have a predominantly Republican Congress. The district is predominantly Democrat, and so that Republican Congress will expect that if we give 16 and 17-year-olds the vote, that's more Democrat votes coming in the District of Columbia. Do you think as a result of that it will receive more scrutiny from Congress, maybe to the point of preventing it, blocking it from being passed?
Well, we'll be ready to defend it and fight for it. And Congresswoman Norton has already come out and said that she'll defend our laws that we pass, including this one. But I'm not sure if Republicans are really going to be swayed by that. If the concern is a few more Democrats are voting in a presidential election, that's still not going to change where our electoral votes go. So it really doesn't change that dynamic all that much on the national Republican level. But it is important for that dynamic for those young people to have their voices heard and to be able to express that at the ballot box.
Also joining me in studio is Benjamin Korn. He is a student journalist at Wilson High School, a public school in the District of Columbia. He is co-editor-in-chief of the Wilson Beacon. Benjamin Korn, good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
What perspective does being a student journalist in particular in D.C. expose you to on political issues like this one?
Well, it certainly puts us right front and center. We've covered this legislation. We've covered lots of issues this year that have had that are going to and are currently having direct and immediate impact on students. I can't say if it's more in years past, but it really does seem like this year there are so many issues in the district. There's been a discussion on graduation rates. There's a new attendance policy. We're in the search for a new chancellor. Unfortunately, there's been violence at schools, including Wilson. There's a new budget process for schools, a mayoral election's coming up. So there's just a whole laundry list of items that really will impact students. And as a student journalist, we cover all of that, and we try to get a sense of how our student population at Wilson feels about that.
What kind of engagement or activism have you seen coming from young people in your school or in the community in general?
Well, certainly lots. There's been a lot of activism this year. Just a few weeks ago, various Wilson groups organized a sit-in to commemorate the lives lost at Parkland and D.C., and there was a moment of silence for those students, and after that, there was an immediate connection that the speakers shared that if you feel strongly about this, if you feel passionate about these policies, you have to get out and vote. And then the very next day, there was a voter registration drive at Wilson, and over 200 students pre-registered and registered to vote. And Wilson administration told the Beacon that it was one of the largest in recent memory, maybe in the entire history of the school. And so I can't speak to whether they would get out to vote, but they're pre-registering, and seniors are currently registering to vote right now. So those are just two examples that I think back on that the Beacon has covered of student activism.
It's my understanding that you're 18 now, but do you think if this had been passed when you were 16 or 17, would you have taken advantage of the opportunity to vote at that age?
Personally, I would have taken advantage of that opportunity to vote. I think it's important.
Have you talked to other students about this and whether or not they feel they should have the opportunity to vote at 16 or 17, or is opinion even among students somewhat divided?
Well, like any issue, students match adults, and so it is divided. It comes down generally in favor of it, but of course there are those who dissent, and which is reflective of our voting system as it is today. I would say generally people come down in support of it, though.
Got an email from Jeffrey who writes, I registered to vote when I was 18, and that's when I really began to focus on our governmental processes. Looking back, if I had been able to vote at 16 or 17, then I would have gotten more engaged with our governmental processes at an earlier age. My awareness would have been sharper sooner, and I think my schools and teachers would have stressed that type education and citizen engagement sooner. But Charles Allen, what do you say to people who say, on the other hand, if we start now at 16, where are we going with this? Are we going then to 15, 14, 13, 10?
You know, I think there's a reason why 16 makes sense. And your relationship with your government changes dramatically at 16. Your relationship to elected officials changes dramatically. At 16, for many people, you can get a driver's license. So at 16, I trust you as the government to drive a few tons of steel out on these streets. At 16, you're allowed to go have a job and you pay taxes. Your life changes from a legal perspective at age 16. So I think 16 makes a whole lot of sense in that respect. I also think that at 16, in high school, that's also where a lot of our young people are getting the type of civics education that we really want. Now, I think we should be doing civics at middle school and even elementary school. But in high school, we see our young people taking government classes, civics classes. It's one of the most engaged times, I think, in their life, where they're really helping form opinions and thoughts. So I think extending the right to vote makes a whole lot of sense, also because you've got young people getting engaged and in the classroom in the type of civics that we want to make sure that we have good citizens that are engaged.
We got an email from Mark who says, we need some consistency in what age defines adulthood. You need to be 21 to drink and buy guns in some states, 18 to buy cigarettes and join the army. So why would one think 16 to make electoral decisions? I say go back to 18 for all of it. That's it. Joining us now by phone is Fred Schultz. He is a former Tacoma Park Council member. He voted against the legislation to voter the voting age there. Fred Schultz, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
I mentioned that you voted against that legislation. What were your thoughts then about 16 and 17-year-olds having the right to vote?
I basically opposed it, and I was the only one on the city council to do so. And I've had plenty of time to think about it because the city council passed that law in 2013, and there have been three city elections since then. But my views really have not changed in the intervening years.
Well, we've since then seen student activists driving the discussion around gun control after the Parkland shooting. How has that affected your thoughts on the issue?
Well, I've been very, very impressed. I think those young people at Parkland and other high schools deserve an enormous amount of credit for their conscientiousness and their ability to articulate their feelings and ideas. But I still don't think that changes my mind because the vast, vast majority of 16 and 17-year-olds simply lack common sense, in my view. I know.
Why in your opinion does common sense seem to arrive at 18?
Well, I think it's just a simple question of maturity, and we all know plenty of teenagers who mature a lot faster, and we know some that never seem to grow up. Of course, but. At 18, we start handing out some serious privileges to 18-year-olds. Parents, oftentimes in their own judgment, will say, "Well, at this point, you're pretty much your decisions are yours." 18-year-olds, most of them have finished high school. They're thinking about college, or they're thinking about starting a career. They're trying to make some decisions about their personal independence. And at age 16 and 17, that's just not the case.
Well, a lot of listeners would like to join on this conversation. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll bring in more callers. The Washington Post editorialized in favor of this, saying that it consulted with a law professor at the University of Kentucky College of Law, who says there's no difference between the cognitive brain development of a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old, that they're both capable of the reasoned, deliberate decision-making involved in voting. I'm Kojo Nnamdi.
This month at WAMU, we're lifting our voices to shine a light on Black changemakers throughout American history. Some you know and some you don't, but they all change the world. Go to WAMU.org/lifteveryvoice to learn the stories of these incredible African-American changemakers and to hear special interviews spotlighting those who have impacted the arts, sciences, sports, and activism. Go to WAMU.org/lifteveryvoice.
Welcome back. We're talking about a proposal before the D.C. Council that would allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote in the District of Columbia. We're talking with Charles Allen. He's a D.C. Council member representing Ward 6. He introduced this legislation. Benjamin Korn is a student journalist at Wilson High School, which is a public high school in the District of Columbia. He is co-editor-in-chief of the Wilson Beacon. And Fred Schultz is a former Tacoma Park Council member. He voted against the legislation to lower the voting age there. That legislation was passed in 2013, Tacoma Park becoming the first jurisdiction in the nation to allow voting by people under 18 years old. A lot of people are weighing in on this. Samantha tweets in, lowering the voting age will inspire young people to be more involved in their communities since they will have a voice at the polls. Those who have a voice and can make change are more likely to be civically engaged as well. But here is Natalie in Washington, D.C. Natalie, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'm absolutely opposed to just giving the vote to 16 and 17 years old, particularly in Washington, D.C., who has gone through scandal after scandal of promoting students that have not been educated. And to have the gall to come out and use Wilson as an example. Wilson happens to be one of, if not the highest scholarly standard in the city. Let's face it. We have to teach civics in the schools, absolute civics. Once they pass those courses, then we can talk about moving on. This is just a political gimmick.
Charles Allen.
Well, I do appreciate it, and I have absolutely heard from folks who both support and to oppose it. And I completely agree with Natalie's point around civics. I disagree, however, that we should ever try to say, let's have someone take a civics test before we decide that whether or not they can vote. I think we've tried that in the past, and it's not a very good way to run elections and make sure people have their right to be heard.
What do you say, Benjamin Korn?
Well, I can understand the concern. And speaking from a journalist perspective, and as what we cover, you know, we cover all the time the curriculum that Wilson students and all DCPS students take. You take U.S. history, you take civics class, you take U.S. government classes, D.C. history, comparative government. We have our own SGA elections. So whether students have that, whether they're understanding what's going on, they're certainly in the classes learning about these and having experience, which all lends credence to this idea that they're familiar with voting. So I can understand your concern, and I don't have a direct answer for you, but Wilson students and all DCPS students are surrounded by civics class starting in ninth grade and moving their way up.
And how would participation in civics class be enhanced if those students were allowed to vote? Our last caller suggested something almost akin to a literacy test to allow people to vote, but she said they should first pass civics. But would, do you think that being able to vote would increase and enhance interest in civics?
Well, absolutely. In my opinion, it seems natural that on a Monday you're talking about voting and also DC's lack of voter representation. On a Tuesday, it's an election day, and then on a Wednesday, you're talking about the results. For me personally, that seems like a pretty natural course of action for a civics class and one in which there's actual real voting going on and real policy change happening.
And you know, about half of our polling sites in the city are actually our schools. And one of the things that you'll see on election day for folks that go to the polls is that you'll see civics teachers and really a lot of teachers and educators out there actually using it as a real-life, real-time opportunity to help educate their students and enroll them in that process. But right now, all those students are just simply observers. And now imagine how that conversation changes when these young people now get to be a part of the conversation.
Here's Maya in Silver Spring, Maryland. Maya, your turn.
Oh, hi, Kojo. Thank you so much. I'm totally in favor of 16 and 17-year-olds being allowed to vote. I think this is an opportunity to get it really right because all the different positions and all the problems of the county, the district can be discussed, you know, in the civics class. And I think that the 16 and 17-year-olds stand to be far more educated about who they're voting for and why they're voting for them than your typical adult voter. And I think frequently people go to the polls and they really don't have a clear idea of exactly why they're voting, and they vote straight down the party line and don't really understand the difference between one
You feel that if students can start voting at 16, they're likely to have a better grasp of the issues?
Oh, definitely, and that will prepare them to do that for the rest of their life.
Well, I think Paul in Washington, D.C. begs to differ. Paul, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Coach Joe. So I wanted to start off by saying that, you know, like your first caller, I have immense respect for what the students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School were able to do and channel, you know, what they felt into, you know, activism that really, you know, is very impressive. And I think that 16 and 17-year-olds are able to make informed decisions. But I don't think that being informed on a topic and understanding a topic are the same thing. And I believe that, you know, you need just more life experience. You know, I'm almost 30 years old and I'm seeing things differently now than I ever have in my life because, you know, I've had 30 years of life experience to draw from. And I think you need that kind of life experience to truly get an understanding and a firm grasp on a topic. Because, you know, when you go to the polls, you're not voting for a candidate so much as you're voting for their policies. And to truly, truly understand the policies, you need to have life experience.
Well, I suspect that all of the people who have opposed Charles Allen in previous elections feel that the people who voted for Charles Allen were not informed enough on the issues. But Charles, the Nation had a piece arguing that, quoting here, young people who are smart enough and engaged enough to shape the debate around gun violence are smart and engaged enough to vote. But do you think that the average 16 or 17-year-old pays attention to what's happening in politics, particularly local elections, issues, and candidates? Fred Schultz didn't seem to think that way.
I think that they do. And certainly of the young people that I've talked to, I sat down not too long ago with a whole group of 16, 17, 18-year-olds, and they were from, you know, Anacostia High School, they were from Wilson High School, School Without Walls, just a cross-section of our city. And what they talked to me about, affordable housing, they're talking about jobs and careers, violence in their community. They talk to me about the exact same issues that adults would speak to me about. And I think that you really only have to look on either end of Pennsylvania Avenue to realize that age does not equal wisdom. These 16 and 17-year-old voices need to be enrolled in the process. And I think Tacoma Park actually gives us a great example of how they will. So they've had now several elections. The first election they had where 16 and 17-year-olds could vote, they had a voter turnout about 41%. Of the 16 and 17-year-olds that were registered came out. That's
higher. And apparently they turned out at four times the rate of voters over 18.
Exactly. That is a higher rate than many other demographics, and that has only continued. So now in the most recent election, 48% turned out. So what you've got is civically engaged individuals, and that's what I want. I want people to come out and vote. Now, obviously, if my name's on the ballot, I have a stake in how they vote. But what I really want is for them to vote, to get socially and civically engaged in the act of voting. And that's what we're seeing happens when you have people vote at 16 and 17 years old.
Fred Schultz, officials in your jurisdiction, Tacoma Park, say they see an increase in participation by voters the ages of 16 and 17, to which you say what?
Well, in the November 17 election, there were 138 kids who were aged 16 and 17 registered, and of those, 66 voted. But that 138 38 registrants represented 1% of the total registration. So I think the total impact of their voting on the outcome is extremely small. I mean, that's not a reason to not give them the vote, but I'm just saying that let's not get carried away with the idea that having 16 and 17-year-olds who voting is going to make a material impact in the outcome of elections.
Well, it may not make a material impact in the outcome. What it will make a material impact on, though, is how candidates and elected officials treat those young people. Right now, you want elected officials and candidates to go to those 16 and 17-year-old voters. They've got something that candidates want. They've got a vote. And so I talk with students all the time who tell me that they don't see candidates come to them. They don't hear candidates come talk about their issues. In D.C., we have 11,000 16 and 17-year-olds, 70% of whom are black. If we want to make sure, as we talk about policy decisions, budget decisions, that all too often will have a disproportionate negative impact on young voices, in particular young voices of color, we need to make sure that those voices have a power at the ballot box. And then it forces elected officials and forces candidates to have to go to them, to listen to their issues, act on their issues, and make sure that they are a part of the process. And it will impact the decisions they make and the actions they take.
Benjamin Corn, see if you agree with Noah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Noah, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I would just like to say that I think 16 and 17-year-olds bring valuable information to the voter booth. I think that in the Zuckerberg hearing that we last week, politicians kind of demonstrated that there's a lack of knowledge that they possess as well.
The adults over 18 and apparently many of those in Congress indicate a lack of grasp of technology, and our caller thinks that those people don't understand how much more informed students are today as a result of that. Benjamin?
Well, talking from personal experience, if students decide to not read The Beacon, which we're okay with, if they decide not to read The Beacon, we often hear in class alerts go off, and it's the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN. So students are connected. We have apps on our phones. In fact, information these days is so much more available than I think it ever has been. It is so easy to access news, and we're seeing students do that certainly on a national level and on a local level. So I would echo that caller's sentiment that students are at least tuned into what's going on.
Charles Allen, Tacoma Park City officials say they've started a youth council that meets to discuss issues that affect the high school age voters. The members also meet with city council to share their ideas. Is this something you think D.C. would consider and benefit from?
Yeah, actually, just last week I ended up talking with Mayor Stewart of Tacoma Park, and we were talking about this issue, and she was mentioning the youth council, and that part of what Tacoma Park has seen is everything from candidate forums that are youth-focused and youth-hosted to the type of engagement like this. The district has, we've had things like youth mayors and things like that. But what I don't want, what I'll be careful of, is that we ever use something like that as a alternative to truly bringing those young voices into the electoral process and the ballot box. So I think having a youth council and youth mayors are a great way to make sure we're elevating young voices. I want to elevate them all. And I think that the best way to do that is that you give those voices a ballot and a voice at the ballot box.
And I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Charles Allen, Benjamin Korn, Fred Schultz, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you so much.
I'm Kojo Namdi.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.